This episode of the Old Dogs REI Network is brought to you by Mino Studio. Welcome to the Old Dogs REI Network, where cash flow is king. Real estate investing, the means, so you can enjoy your retirement dreams. This is the show where we cut right to the chase. No sales pitch, no long monologues, just simple how-to real estate investing advice, so you can earn the passive income you need to enjoy your retirement today. And now, your host and chief old dog, Bill Manicero.
Old Dogs, and welcome to
Fun Facts Friday.
This is our once a week, only on Friday show, where we have special episodes not featuring guests, where I will share tricks, tips, terminology, and techniques that will help skyrocket you to real estate investing success. Today's topic is it difficult to get a mortgage when you are retired? But before we get started, hey, I'd just like to touch base with you as I always do on Fridays here. Fun fact, Fridays are like, you know, the bomb here. And I'm stoked. You know why? I think I have a real advantage in that I do my interviews with my guests, you know, kind of back to back on one day so that I can, you know, focus on real estate investing the rest of the week. But it's just been really great talking to a lot of people that are doing really amazing things. And it's just such an encouragement for me as I talk to these guys, you know, despite COVID, despite all the other stuff that's going on, there are people out there that are just kicking it, crushing it, whatever you term you want to use here in real estate right now. And there are some great opportunities, and there are people at all scales, you know, whether they're wholesalers or flippers or, you know, investing in commercial properties or syndicators or whatever you say. You know, I know people in all those categories that are doing really well. It doesn't mean that you know, that everything's perfect. No, there are definitely challenges, especially in today's economy and some of the other things that are happening out there. But overall, this is a great time. It's always a great time for real estate investing. So don't be discouraged. Just do it, right? All right. Let's go to the tip of the week here. Coffee masterminds, at least what I call them. Now, granted, masterminds usually have a bunch of different minds. That's why they kind of call it masterminds or mastermind. Sometimes they just call it mastermind. Anyway, nonetheless, coffee is a great time. Now, even if you don't drink coffee, you drink tea, you know, juice, whatever it is, you can do the same thing. But the idea here is to meet with at least one person once a month, minimum. Okay, somebody you don't know. Now, granted, as you start to meet people, you're going to be building up your network. And these people that you're meeting with want to meet again and talk. And this is where the synergy of real estate investing really starts. It's meeting with other people that are doing this, that are successful, some that are maybe new, that are starting out. But you can learn from everybody you meet with. And you can also help people too. I believe in giving back as much as I can. And I'm still a student. I still consider myself a student, but I will share my knowledge and help people out doing those little coffees, breakfasts, lunches, whatever they may be. And it's just smart to build that into your strategic plan that you are going to meet people at least once a month. I would say once a week, especially if you're just starting out, and start building up that network, making contact with people that are people that you can work with down the road here. You can decide. Maybe you'll meet with people two or three times a week. Who knows? But it's a great way to get educated, you know, for the price of a cup of coffee. You can meet people through Bigger Pockets. That's one of the top areas I've met people. But obviously with my podcast, I meet people through that as well. You know, you can just look up people that are in your area that are investing in real estate, people that have real estate companies. Meet with, it doesn't have to be investors either. It could be landlords. It could be property managers. It could be real estate attorneys. It could be all kinds of people where you can make connections and start building that network. So Do it, guys. Coffee Masterminds, best way to go. All right, let's jump into our topic. We got a lot to cover here. This is a big one. The question is it difficult to get a mortgage when you are retired? The answer to that is, doesn't have to be. Okay, so why, you know, would I be talking about it then if, you know, if this is not a big issue? Well, it can be. It depends. You have to understand there's sort of different folks that we're talking to. There's some of you are young and you're working, you've got a W-2 income, probably not a big issue. But then there's those that are approaching retirement that are trying to make decisions about what to do. Should I, for example, should I sell my house or should I just pay it off so that when I'm retired, it's a big expense I don't have to deal with? There's a lot of questions like that. And, you know, if you are approaching retirement, you may be looking at, you know, issues like, should I pay off my mortgage, or maybe should I just sell and downsize because the kids are gone, we have this big house, we don't want to do that. Maybe you want to go and travel or something like that. There's a lot of different reasons that people look at, and those that are looking at real estate investing are looking at, hey, where am I going to get the funds to invest? And it could come from selling that home. It could be from taking a line of credit or a HELOC using those funds. Now, granted, you're not paying things off. You're creating more debt in that process. But sometimes that's the way to get started. If you can produce a nice portfolio, then you pay that back quickly and you could use those funds again and do the same thing. Those are a lot of the decisions that people are sort of weighing out that are in that land of approaching retirement or already in retirement. If you're already retired, you may be thinking, gee, yeah, I've been in this big house. I don't need to be in this big house anymore. I could downsize. Maybe considering investing so they could either pull cash out of that sale and use that to buy a property. You could buy a property in full and not have to deal with a mortgage if your home had appreciated that much and you had enough equity in it, right? So, or you could just use it as a down payment and leverage. Some people are doing 15-year loans, some are doing 30-year loans. When I started, as you probably all heard this story before, but I was 60 years old. I was approaching 60, and I was a total novice, didn't know what I was doing, right? But I moved into this mode that I was going to acquire 1,000 doors in 6 years. So I was looking at, well, can I do this without getting into debt? Because I had been debt-free for, 20 plus years, and I know some of the folks listening to the show are Dave Ramsey people, and they're trying to achieve that same thing. And I was perfectly happy debt-free, but I found out as I went into real estate investing that I would have to have some sort of credit and establish that. I was fortunate enough, I had one sort of emergency credit card that I kept alive, never used it. So I actually, had something on my credit report here, and it was a card I'd had for years and years. And so that kind of helped me to reestablish credit, but I had to get other things, and I had to finance a car, which I hated to do because this is after we'd come back from Haiti. We were in California and I'm trying to build this up. And then I had to get a first mortgage on one of my properties. And again, I hated to do that. I mean, every time I went into debt, I was going, this is painful. You don't have to go into debt though. Now, I had an aggressive plan that, was based a lot on leverage. And it has a lot to do with, sort of when you're buying too, because, I was able to, for example, the duplex that I bought in Indianapolis, I bought it at $55,000. A year and a half later, it's worth $200,000. That kind of appreciation just doesn't happen everywhere. And it just happened to be in the right area at the right timing. And there are those, that I've had on my show that, would buy in 2008, 2010, 2011, and just saw tremendous equity. You can sell those properties and take that money and buy bigger properties or more properties, and you really don't even have to do mortgages. But some people, would take the money and then they you know, let's say they have 100,000, they made 100,000 on a flip, and they could buy, you know, 5 homes at 20% down, you know, and that's how they expanded. And of course, prices are going up, so these homes appreciated, and boom, boom, boom. So there are ways that you can do this wisely, but I personally feel, you know, if I could have done it a different way, and I didn't have this goal that was, you know, kind of looming over me there, that I probably would have looked at a way to be able to buy properties and, you know, be able to improve them, increase the equity significantly, or buy it in an emerging market where those properties are going up in value. And I know I could double the value of that property. And then you expand that way by selling, you know, the previous property, and instead of borrowing against the property and creating more loans. So I know that there definitely is a way around that. And so you don't have to get mortgages, but if there are people that, you know, boom, that's like the only way that I can do this is to do a mortgage. And you have to do the numbers and figure out what makes sense for you. Not only did I not have the credit, but I also didn't have W-2 income. And here I was technically retired and I didn't have W-2 income. So it is a very different thing. And I went through a lot of different lenders, one of which I thought, you know, was going to be the lender for that first apartment building that I bought, because I thought, you know, gee, you know, this is a Wells Fargo bank. And they had, I told them my situation. I'm a 1099 guy because I'm getting rental income and da da da. And after all of that, after I went through like months of, you know, all the due diligence and giving them all the information they requested and so forth. And they basically said, well, you don't have W-2 income, so we really can't do it. And I said, well, I told you that in the beginning. So, you know, what are you talking about? So anyway, nonetheless, you know, I was concerned, as a lot of people are, that, you know, boy, you know, it's going to be tough to get a loan as a retired guy, you know. So, you know, I've heard stories of retirees who are planning to move, after they retire, and, you know, they may locate a home, take out a mortgage, but they want to do all that before they quit their job because they're concerned that they're not going to be able to get a new mortgage. Or, you know, they're just following conventional wisdom. Some homeowners may feel that they should pay off their mortgage before they retire so they won't have to make a large monthly payment on a smaller income. So there's that thing too, where they just want to get rid of the loan. So there's all these considerations that you have to make. And yet some retirees may find it more beneficial to hold on to the mortgage because of the write-offs that they get from it. So it varies from person to person. You know, consider this: a couple who sells their home to downsize and they receive a chunk of cash from years of building up equity. If they do not use that equity to pay cash for the new home, they suddenly have significantly more liquidity. So they can add that money to their nest egg, they can invest it, they can earn returns that may be higher than what they, you know, what their interest was on that loan. They can then gradually withdraw their earnings if they want to for additional retirement income. But the big question is, you know, is it possible to qualify for a mortgage after retirement? Financial planners and mortgage lenders say yes. So does Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, two of the biggest players in the mortgage market. They are government-sponsored enterprises. I know we've talked a lot about them, that buy mortgages from banks and home financing companies, provided those mortgages meet certain standards. So everybody kind of has the same standard if they are going to eventually sell those loans to Fannie or Freddie. Now, under the Equal Credit Opportunity Act, lenders cannot discriminate against borrowers based on age. Okay, I didn't know if you guys knew that, but they can't. Retired borrowers, like working borrowers, simply need to show that they have good credit, not too much debt, and enough ongoing income to pay the mortgage. Now, demonstrating proof of income may be different than it would be for working borrowers. You know, usually they just show their W-2s and But to retirees who qualify, it can even take out a 30-year mortgage, okay? Their lenders cannot base their decision on an applicant's life expectancy as well. So they can't discriminate on age, nor if somebody is 90 years old and they want to take out a loan, they can't discriminate based on that person's life expectancy. Retirees and near retirees interested in qualifying for a mortgage after retirement should understand how lenders will evaluate them. Okay, so let's look at what mortgage qualifications are for retirees, and I think that's an important place to start. For example, income. For any mortgage, Fannie Mae instructs lenders to look for income that is stable, predictable, and likely to continue. For borrowers who work and earn a salary or regular wage, that requirement is easy to meet. Okay, we know that. People that have a regular income, they can provide pay stubs and W-2s to document their income history. They don't have to prove that their income is expected to continue at the same level for the foreseeable future. They just have to be able to provide that history. But getting a mortgage in retirement is not quite that easy. Fannie Mae considers distributions from 401ks, IRAs, or KEO retirement accounts to have a defined expiration date because they involve depletion of an asset. So as you're taking money out of your retirement account, it's getting smaller and smaller, okay? Borrowers who derive income from such resources must document that it's expected to continue for at least 3 years after the date of their mortgage application. So that's their requirement. I'll say that again. Borrowers who derive income from such sources, as I just mentioned, IRAs or even self-directed accounts, must document that it's expected to continue for at least 3 years after the date of their mortgage application. So lenders can only use, let's say, 70% of the value of those accounts to determine how many distributions remain. Now, the reason they do that is because those accounts often consist of stocks, bonds, or mutual funds. Since those assets can be volatile, then they only account for, if it's $100,000 or $1 million, they'll say it's only worth $700,000, they won't consider it for full value because of what you're investing in. The retiree must also have unrestricted access to these accounts without penalty. For example, individuals usually cannot withdraw money from a 401k before 59 and a half without penalty, right? Freddie Mac has similar requirements. Social Security income that a borrower is drawing on his or her own work record is considered income that does not have defined expiration date. But income being drawn on a family member's record, such as survivor benefits or spousal benefits, must be shown to be payable for at least the next 3 years from the date of the mortgage application. Retirees can document this income using their award letter from Social Security Administration or proof of current receipt. If a borrower does not have to pay taxes on certain income, then lenders can increase that amount by 25%. So I'll repeat that. If a borrower does not have to pay taxes on certain income, then lenders can increase that amount by 25%. That's called grossing up when calculating qualifying income, since other qualifying income sources are considered on a pre-tax basis. So like if you've passed that point where Social Security is no longer taxable, then they would gross up on that. But just because a lender is allowed to gross up income does not mean that they have to, says the Casey Fleming, the author of The Loan Guide, How to Get the Best Possible Mortgage. And he's also a mortgage advisor for C2 Financial Corporation in San Jose, California. Some lenders will increase qualifying income by a smaller amount, such as a 15%, while others will not do it at all. Corporate or government retirement or pension income is not considered to have a defined expiration date as well, nor are part-time job earnings. Rental income, okay, that's a good one to know, all right, they're not looking at that drying up, or self-employment income. Interest and dividend income falls into this category too, unless the underlying asset that produces that income will be depleted. Annuity income can be used to qualify as long as the borrower can document that it is expected to continue for at least 3 years. Regardless of whether the income has a defined expiration date, lenders require retirees to document the regular and continued receipt of their qualifying income using one or more of the following: letters from the organization providing the income, copies of retirement award letters, copies of signed federal income tax returns, IRS W-2 or 1099 forms, or proof of current receipt. Freddie Mac's requirements to document retirement income are similar to Fannie Mae's. Borrowers who only take sporadic withdrawals from retirement accounts rather than regular withdrawals might have trouble qualifying. Okay, I hate to keep repeating things, but I'm going to repeat it again. Borrowers who only take sporadic withdrawals from retirement accounts rather than regular withdrawals might have trouble qualifying. But the solution may be easy as long as there is no time crunch to get your mortgage. So if you know you're going to be applying for a mortgage, first thing you need to do is start taking regular withdrawals for 2 months or maybe two or three months before applying for a loan. If you can show that you're taking regular withdrawals, it will help you to qualify for that loan. Married couples applying for a loan together should consider how their spouse's death would affect their ability to keep paying the mortgage. Would they lose a significant amount of pension or Social Security income that they are using to qualify? Lenders, however, cannot address this matter in the loan application. So that's just letting you know that there may be concerns, but they cannot question that because, again, it's something that they can't predict for sure. So let's look at some of the qualifications here. Like, for example, assets. Now, if you've got a high net worth, it should definitely help you in getting that loan. Retirees often have significant assets but limited income. Fannie Mae lets lenders use a borrower's retirement assets in one of two ways to help them qualify for a mortgage. If the borrower is already using the asset, such as a 401k, to receive retirement income, the borrower must demonstrate that they will continue to receive regular income from that asset for at least 3 years. If the borrower is not already using that asset, the lender can compute the income stream that asset could offer. So again, it's that three-year rule. If it looks like it's going to be there for the next 3 years, then they can count it. Similarly, Freddie Mac changed its leading guidelines in the spring of 2011 to make it easier for borrowers to qualify for a mortgage when they have limited incomes but substantial assets. The rule allows lenders to consider IRAs, 401ks, lump sum retirement account distributions, and proceeds from the sale of a business, for example, to qualify for a mortgage. These assets must be entirely accessible to the borrower, not subject to a withdrawal penalty, and not be currently used as a source of income. IRA and 401k assets must also be fully vested. Lenders sometimes call this an asset depletion loan or asset-based loan, though it is not a separate loan type, but a way of qualifying. Borrowers can still count income from other sources when they use these assets to help them qualify. For example, suppose John has $1 million in his 401k and he has not touched it, okay? So he is not yet 70 and a half, the age at which the IRS requires account owners to start taking required minimum distributions for their 401ks. He is living off Social Security and the income from a Roth IRA. So a lender could use 70% of his 401k balance to account for market swings, like we mentioned earlier, because it may be invested in stocks and bonds and things that fluctuate, or that would be $700,000, okay? So you could count that as $700,000 minus his down payment. Let's say it's $50,000 for the property and closing costs. Let's say those are $20,000 to arrive at $630,000, an amount that could be expected to use to gradually pay for his mortgage over the next 360 months or 30 years. That would give him $1,750 a month to put toward a housing payment. So that's how they use those assets in calculating whether or not to lend to you or not. The lender does not have to subtract closing costs if the borrower pays them from a different account. If John did that, he would have $1,805 in qualifying monthly income to put toward a housing payment. Unfortunately, even if John wanted a 15-year mortgage, the lender would still have to divide his 401k balance by 360, not 180, because that is what Freddie Mac's rules require. Now, John does not actually have to start dipping into his 401k to pay the mortgage, but this calculation shows lenders that they could rely on his 401k balance, okay, if they needed to. He could use the asset depletion method from his untouched 401k combined with the income he's already receiving from Social Security and his Roth IRA to qualify and borrow as much as possible. Fannie Mae also allows borrowers to use vested assets from retirement accounts for the down payment, closing costs, and reserves. Retirement assets that can only be accessed with penalty, like 401k assets before the age of 59 and a half, can't be used for income qualification. I'll say that again. So if it's you're applying and you're younger than 59 and a half, they cannot be used as part of the income qualification part. They can be counted toward reserves, the reserves requirement, however. They don't want you to be flat broke and busted when you close escrow, so you have to have reserves, typically at least three times the total monthly housing payment. So if your, you know, your housing payment is $2,000, you know, a month, you'd have to have at least, you know, $6,000 in reserves and liquidity there. If you don't have enough in liquid assets, the lender can usually use about 60% of retirement reserves. So 60% accounts for penalties and taxes. The exact amount allowed, if any, is up to the lender. So there are other places to get that and to meet that requirement. Freddie Mac allows the cash value of a life insurance policy to be counted as a qualifying asset. But if the money is needed to pay for the mortgage or closing costs, the cash value must be liquidated. Fannie Mae allows the net proceeds from a loan against a policy, an insurance policy's cash value or the surrender value of a life insurance policy to be used for a down payment, closing costs, and reserves. Any repayment obligations to the policy will be factored into qualifying the borrower as an additional debt obligation in the debt-to-income ratio or by subtracting them from the borrower's financial reserves. Of course, using the cash value of a permanent life insurance policy could lead to a reduction in the policy's value and its death benefit. It can also lead to the policy lapsing altogether in a tax bill under some circumstances. So a lot of it comes down to really finding the right lender. Most mortgage lenders at banks sell their loans to Freddie Mac or Fannie Mae, and so they're going to have to meet those qualifications that we've just gone over. They all pretty much follow the same rules, but not all lenders are experienced in issuing mortgages to retirees. And some of us that have applied know that. You've had, you know, some people that just aren't used to lending to baby boomers, for example, here. And so they don't really know all the various options that are there. So before spending too much time with a lender, retiree borrowers should ask a few screening questions to determine if they have the willingness and know-how to handle their application. And you can use this podcast and or the show notes here as a reference as to what questions you want to ask. Just ask the lender how they qualify retirement income and how they calculate qualifying income from assets. But also look at some of the specific options and some of the various ways that they can get around certain things, maybe qualifying certain assets as income. So in summary, you know, buying a home with a mortgage as a retiree, yeah, it can be more difficult. It is possible than buying a home, let's say, with your standard employment income. But most lenders consider pension, Social Security, and investment income as your regular income. You may also be able to include your annuity, survivor, or spousal benefits and retirement account income as long as you can prove it'll continue for at least 3 years, and your assets can continue to your ability to get a loan. So you can make up for lower income with a, you know, things like a better DTI, debt to income ratio, or credit score. You know, those are things I would emphasize getting on as soon as you can and doing what you have to do to boost those numbers. You may also have an easier time, you know, getting a mortgage loan for a primary residence over a second home or a rental property. And that's generally the case. Even though I have got great rates on rental properties, it may not be your local lender's option, and they will charge usually higher than what they would for a primary residence. And that's why some people, you know, they'll go into a primary residence and they live in it for a certain period of time and then they rent it out. Or you could make your primary residence an apartment, or it could be a small multi, like a fourplex, and you get a good rate on it, and you're able to, after a year, move out and go to another property and do the same. And that's one way you can grow your portfolio and still get great rates. Well, anyway, that is it for today. I know this is a big topic, and I probably went longer than I had to, but I think that this is, one, it's encouraging to know that you can get a mortgage. The question is, do you really want to have a mortgage? You know, as we get later in life, the last thing we want is more debt, right? So if you can leverage in such a way that you can buy a property, you can turn it around, where you're doubling the price of that property, you might be able to expand your portfolio. But, you know, again, doubling the price of a property is not something that happens in normal marketplace. Yeah, you can get in there and find a fixer-upper and do some things to you know, pull some good income out of it. But, you know, how long will that take? Well, that just depends, right? So if you do get rental properties and you use leverage like loans or mortgages to get those properties, I would say once you get them, set your goal. I'm going to have X number of doors, and then you just start paying them down as fast as you can. Take that income, as much of it that you generate as possible, to pay those properties off as quickly as possible. All right. Well, that is it for today, guys. Please note, old dog listeners, everything presented here today, and they're pretty extensive notes, so you can access those and use them as a reference as you start shopping mortgages. Just look on the Old Dog website at olddogsreinetwork.com/blog, and you're going to look for the episode entitled, Is It Difficult to Get a Mortgage When You Are Retired? So until next time, cash flow is king, and real estate investing the means. Keep moving forward, and may God bless.
Thank you very much for visiting the Old Dogs REI Network. We would greatly appreciate if you would stop by iTunes and let us know what you think of the show. We would love if you could subscribe to the podcast, give us a 5-star rating, and write a review. The more ratings and reviews we receive, the more visible the podcast will be to others. Thank you.